I believe this person to be a giant who walks amongst us. I give you a little bit of her story, and then we're going to ask her, and then we're going to have a bit of a chat. Many years ago now, about 40 years ago, as a young woman with two small children and a husband, she went to a foreign land to answer the call of God upon their life. She was there a very short space of time. She was a young girl, 25 years of age, two small children, and her husband was shot while preaching the gospel. He was martyred for the gospel. She's 25. She's suffering culture shock, grief, separation, anxiety. Her family's back here in Australia. You couldn't really comprehend the challenges that would cause a young woman, I would think. But you would imagine she'd come back and everyone would go, let's embrace you. Let's get you healed and whole. And, you know, we feel sorry for you. But this particular woman didn't come back home. She persevered and for the next 10 years finished the work that her and her husband set out to do. Not only that, but sometime after that, she comes back to Australia. She remarries. This time she goes back to Sri Lanka again. There's a few small children now to this new relationship, this new marriage. And this particular day, they're on the beach. And the kids are, you know, mucking around, building sandcastles or whatever. And all of a sudden, the water in the beach disappeared like that. It disappeared so quickly that it left fish twirling on the sand. There was a rock several hundred meters out from the water's edge that towered 20 or 30 meters into the air. They looked up and it was gone. And they were on the beach. And some of you who are certainly over the age of 25 would remember the tsunami that killed 250,000 people. And they're on the beach as the tsunami heads straight for them. 50,000 people died in Sri Lanka that day. And what do you do when you're on the beach and a tsunami's heading for you? Well, you run for your life. And they grabbed their children into their arms and they literally ran for their life. They got back to their lodgings. They scurried to the highest part within the building that they could go when the tsunami hit. And they used that tragedy and they used that crisis to serve broken people. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great honor to introduce to you Alison Atkinson. Come out, Alison, let's have a chat.
Thank you.
Alison, I have no doubt the question on everybody's lips is, you're 25, you're a young woman, two small children, your husband's untimely taken from you. How do you find the strength? I mean, there are young church planters here facing all kinds of challenges. I'm not sure that we're in that basket, but how do you find the strength in that grief, in that crisis to keep going?
Yeah. Firstly, you know, it's just God's calling on my life and just knowing that He has called us and He had a plan and purpose, even though I didn't understand at the time, but I never lost that calling. I always knew that He had placed me for a purpose. And also, you know, other thing is that God's word is the truth. His truth, He's true. He's faithful to that word.
Right.
And when He does promise us and He tells us, He's true to that.
Right.
And I remember as a young teenage girl, and I remember going out in my church in Newcastle and missionaries were there. And I said, yes, when they said about going to the nations, I said, as a 12-year-old, I said, I want to go to the nation. And I really meant that with my whole heart. So when we decided to go to the nation of Sri Lanka after marriage, it was yes again, because I knew I had the peace and I knew that God had called us. And then as a 25-year-old widow, single mom, two little kids, and the devastation of a loss, and then even greater than that was to actually have to leave the people that we was to start pioneering a church up in the beautiful mountains of Sri Lanka, and to leave that and know the call that I was called to. And you know, God just spoke very simply to me, that still small voice. Always listen to the still small voice. And He said, I said, I can't do this. And God says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I said, I'm not going to be able to afford to stay here. People are not going to support me. I will supply, Allison, all your needs. And it just went from there. And God, when I look back over the 41 years, true to that word.
Yeah.
True to that word and everything that has spoken to me.
The call of God
and
the word of God
can
take you through any circumstance. That's incredible.
For sure.
That's incredible. So I can't start to comprehend what your plans are like when your husband is martyred. What do you do now? Like, what physically do you do? I appreciate the call of God. I appreciate the word of God. But what are you going to do? What did you do next?
Pioneered the church. did a building project. We built an incredible church up in the mountains, just under the highest peak in Sri Lanka. There's an absolutely lighthouse on top of that mountain. Amazing. Just today. An incredible, it's incredible ministry. We always saw it in a dark place. It's going to be a lighthouse, and it truly is even today. What thousands of people know Jesus through that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So after a decade or so, you come back to Australia, you remarry, there's a few small children again, this marriage, you go back to Sri Lanka. You're not there very long.
Yes.
And you're on the beach that fateful day. And those of us that have been around a while, we remember the devastation around Southeast Asia from the tsunami, as I said earlier. It killed 250,000 people. You're on the beach. You don't know that this is a tsunami that's about to change, wipe out villages, change the lives of millions of people. You're playing with your children. When does it occur to you that this is a really perilous moment? How does that happen? When do you go, oh, that's a tsunami, we better get our kids and run for our lives? What happens there?
Well, when I saw the rock disappearing, that really, that started something, that something's not right here. It was a 20-foot rock, and that wave went over, that mountain of a rock that came over, and I saw my children in front of me, so we grabbed our kids, and as you said, we went to the highest spot. My husband had grabbed the two boys, and they were quite small then, and he just lifted them with his two hands, and he ran up to the stairs. We could try to get as high as we could, and he tried to do that like a day or two later. He could not lift the children the way he did. It's just supernatural, what God did to help us to get and protect our children. And we got to the top, and my older daughter, Sonia, she was laying on the ground screaming her head off, and I thought maybe we're there with family. I thought someone was missing, but to see Mum, she said, God showed me a dream. I had a dream, and Mum, tens of thousands of people have died. And we didn't even know that 250,000 people, and 50,000 people died in Sri Lanka. We were just in the middle of it. We didn't know. So, life completely changed for some time after that.
Yeah. Tell us about how it changed. So you're in the building. Mm. The tsunami hits. The building shakes, but you're safe.
Yes.
That building doesn't fall over. But all around you, there's swirling waters, chaos, tragedy. Eventually, of course, the water recedes.
Yes.
You come down and tell us what happens.
Yeah, so we were sent to a large Catholic church that became like a place of refuge for everybody in the area. They had to evacuate everyone. And so we were kept there for some time. And just there was a few people that died in our area, but from the area that we should have been deep south. This is another thing that God did, right? Because we should have been way down south, where a lot of people died, but we didn't book in time, and the hotel was full. So we went further up the coast where the tsunami hit, but then lives lost was nothing in comparison in the hotel that we should have been. And so just God's his protection over us, and it was crazy, it was amazing. He is true to his word.
Yeah.
And then we went into tsunami.
What did you do then?
So after that, we were just about to launch our project the next year. This happened in Christmas, the Boxing Day. So we put our ministry on hold for a whole year, and it was just working with families and working with people that are devastated, been absolutely devastated, I was just thinking, you know, what I saw, I know the chaplains, we had opportunity with Australian chaplains came and we took them and they ministered to people, they heard the stories of the broken people. And I remember traveling down south and I see these large boats, like a half a K inland, that had just come in, and I'm driving down and there's absolutely no shop, no house, nothing standing. And then we start working with international people came in and we started doing all sorts of things that we could to help anybody and help the people. And then that really hit me at this point, that I saw this wreck of a train. I'm not going to cry. I see a wreck of a train. 1,700 people died in that train, traveling to the south for their holidays with their families and kids. Only 152 people survived in that train. 1,700 died. And that really hit home. And anyway, Narelle and I, we did everything we can with local people, with local churches, the organization. International relief came in and we were able to, as Assemblies Go, we built houses and we bought land for people and we did all sorts of things together and partnered with people to do what we could.
And so 12 months later, after that, you then started a project, Help Kids.
We did.
Tell us a little bit about Help Kids. What's that about? What do you do in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, so we got to start the incredible project that we have now been running for 18 years in a community that is marginalized and seen as the lowest of the low. You know, nothing good can come out of that community, but we know God knows better than that. And there's amazing, incredible people in that community that we get to work alongside every day. And we get to share our faith, we get to share our testimony, we get to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in their lives. And it's a community where many children would have ended up in orphanages. Many of them, even though Sri Lanka has a very high level of education and they're educated, but in these small communities, poor communities, that's where the children really suffer. They don't end up after grade 8, they don't go to school, many of them, and abuse is rife in those communities. But we get to love on these people, you know, and work alongside them and lift them up, empower families, and God has an amazing plan and purpose. There's so many stories of people coming to Jesus. And you know what? We can't even preach the gospel. We show the gospel.
Yeah.
We love them. We show the love that he has, unconditional love. And we're in their community for 18 years. So it's incredible.
Tell us one story.
We have one story of two children. And they came. We have another part of our project was that we had a temporary residential unit. And this brother and sister were on the news. Their father and mother had committed the worst fraud in Sri Lanka at that time. There's been worse since then, but at that time it was the worst fraud. And I saw it on television, and I saw this mum and dad being taken out and put into the police because they caught them. They'd travelled in different parts of the world, but they came back and the police had caught them. And there I saw these two little angels. I saw these little kids, a brother and a sister, and my heart was so heavy for them. And I heard the news guy say, we're going to send these children to an orphanage. And I said, God, I've got an orphanage. Send them to me. 2 days later, we got a call from the government, from the courts, asking us, will we take the two children? There's many homes in Sri Lanka, many, you know, longer standing homes than what we were. But God knew we were there in the right place at the right time. And today, that young man won a scholarship to South Korea, where he studied, and his final year was done in New York, all fully paid for. And today, he loves Jesus, he serves Jesus, baptized, sings in the choir. I don't know how, he can't sing. And he actually was chosen by Amazon in New York because he was at the top of his class. And he works for Amazon right now. His birthday was same as my birthday, so we have a special connection. But that's just one of the amazing stories.
Outstanding. What do we thank Alison for?
You.
Who she is and what she's done. Thank you, Alison. Can we have the QR code up, please?